moment and just think about the words now that I want to speak over you. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." I thank you, God, that these people are your people, Father. They're your treasure. I thank you, Lord, that they have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. I thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God rises up within them and leads them. I thank you that the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside, is their comforter and their guide. I thank you that the Holy Spirit shows them things to come. I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one. I thank you, Father, that as the apostles walked in faith, that these people are people of faith, of the same faith, of like faith, even as the apostolic ministry came forth from your presence, Lord. I thank you, God, that they're the head and not the tail. I thank you they're above only, not beneath. I thank you, Father, that the things that they put their hand to that would produce good things in their life prospers in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that they prosper and are in health even as their soul prospers. I thank you, Father, that their children rise up and bless them. I thank you that their children honor and obey their parents and things go well with them and they live long on the earth. I thank you that the peace and righteousness of God is upon each and every one. I thank you that the joy of the Lord is their strength. I thank you, Father, that we draw strength from the joy of the Lord this morning. I praise you, God, for your ability working in us that causes us to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. I praise you, Father, for that ability that you give us to be able to hear from the realm of the Spirit today. I thank you, Father, that we are blessed. Now say this with me, Father. I thank you that I'm your child. You're my father. You're a good daddy to me, and I'm a good child to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speak of my words are spirit and they are life. Think about how you can speak words of life over the people around you, over people you come in contact with. You can speak life and death or blessing and cursing. Okay, December 2012. We're launching into January 2013 pretty quick. And things are changing. And I want to speak to you this morning about where I believe we're going, where the church in general is going, but those who will speak forth the directive of where we believe God is taking us, I believe we'll get there in a more comfortable fashion. But things are changing, whether we realize it or not. Around the world, things are changing. And as we go into 2013, we better be prepared to change. Because if we're not, we're going to feel like a square peg in a round hole, really. We won't be able to get in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing. He demands change, and most prophetic voices today are saying that the church of tomorrow is going to look quite different than the church of today. And that only makes sense because the world of tomorrow is going to look quite different than it is today. When you look at the world for a situation, for instance, the last century has been a century where the United States has really blossomed and prospered in so many ways. It was the leader in the world financially, it was militarily, it was also leader in the world even in sending out missions. But most all prophetic voices are saying that that day is done, that there's another nation arising today that's going to be one number one, and most people will say that that is China. China, even by 2016, that it's believed that the economy of China will overtake the American economy. There's a shift taking place. Also, one of the most powerful moves of God today, where the church is growing the fastest today, is in China. And I mean, it's just going like a bulldozer. It's taken many people are coming to Christ in China, and they're preparing to reach the world. The church in China are preparing to reach the world. So there is a shift taking place. And some of the shift is certainly going to hopefully affect us in a great way. I don't know about you, but when things change, when things shift, I don't want to be left behind. I want to be tuned in enough to make that shift so that we'll be in tune with the Spirit of God. But God is shifting. There is change. There's things. The world is shifting and things are changing. And most of the world and a lot of the church, I'd say most of the church, even more so than the world, are going to, for the most part, try to keep doing the same things that they've done all along. And they're going to expect similar results, which is foolish. You can't keep doing the same things and expect different results. You have to be, there's something that we must do differently in order to expect a different result. Now, some churches will continue to do things in the same kind of attitude and the same kind of fashion, and then they'll get by for a little while, but sooner or later they'll be left behind if they don't change. Shift has got to take place. And for the most part, Christians are hard to shift because we can get settled down and doing things a certain way and stay in that fashion. But there is a shift coming, and whether we like it or not, it's going to influence us and it's going to affect us. And so say this with me, Father, I'm ready to change. We just sang that song, change me, you know, I want to change from the inside out. Well, that's where it's got to take place. There has to be an attitude of change before we'll actually change. If we don't change our attitude, we'll hang on to what we've got, man. Just we'll hold on. We'll not want to go any different way. But it's a safe place to change when you're on the way, when you're holding close to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes we don't actually know where we're going to end up necessarily all the time, but if we stay on the way, we'll be on the right path. And Jesus is the way. So we have to stay with him. So change will take place, not necessarily in basic doctrine, for sure, not in basic doctrine or our love for Jesus and the way we treat one another and so forth. Those things are, there are some things that are very solid and they go with whatever flow of the Spirit is happening. But there are things that will change, and if we will get the most out of them, we will have to change as well. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the church of tomorrow that's going to look a little bit different than it is today. And specifically, I think some of the things that I'm going to share, some other churches and some churches in other places may be moving a whole lot faster than we are in that particular area. And I might say this, that there's some churches where people have come to Christ and started new churches, they're into it already. They've been birthed into it. They've been birthed in the new thing of God. But sometimes we don't necessarily have to be birthed into it, but we can transition into it. And that's where we are at. We want to transition into something different. And I'm not saying that we haven't already begun, because I believe we have. And it's always amazing to me how prayer will help us release revelation to where we need to go. Like I said, some things won't change. Prayer is something. The only change that needs to take place in prayers is there should be more of it and more people doing it. I'm always amazed how revelation is released in prayer. Just this morning, I was thinking of that as we were in the prayer room. And when some other people were praying, the Lord was speaking to me. And it was in that environment of prayer where this was being released. And as we pray, as we wait before God, as we take our time and wait before God, revelation comes and helps us get established in where God wants to take us. It helps us to get established in the Spirit so the Lord can lead us into places where we don't really know where to go. In fact, the children of Israel were warned at one time, you're going into a place now that a way that you've never gone before, so it's going to be important for you to keep your eye upon me. And so for you and I, when we think of shift and change, we may not have a real good idea. Hopefully I'll explain, talk a little bit about that this morning, but we don't have a real great idea of what that's going to look like, but we know Jesus. Amen. And as long as we hang on to him and keep looking at him, we'll get to where we want to go. Now, the changes of the church tomorrow, we talked a bit about that last week. We talked about change in worship and change in individual expression of worship. We went down that line a little bit and said how important it is for us to be able to express our worship in whatever way the Lord is leading us to express. And that will look different from some people with another people. The church is changing from a church doing everything exactly the same way to a church of expressing, of individuals able to express what they are carrying. You see, we're all carrying a supply of Jesus. We're all carrying a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. We're all, every one of us has something within us that has been deposited in us from God. And God wants that to be expressed to the world around us. And so if I come in here and all you guys are worshiping this exact same way, and I come in and I say, well, this is the way to do it here, so I'm going to worship the same way you do, then that would be only one expression. And God is bigger than one expression. God needs all of us to express worship unto him in the way that we are to express it. And we talked about making honor for one another. You know, we can express worship in different ways, but we must always honor one another in it. Our expression of worship, the only boundaries that should be around it would be the boundary of honoring the person next to me or the other people who may not understand or I may disturb. For instance, if Claude said, well, I'm going to worship God this morning and all through the worship, I'm going to blow the shofar. And I just feel that's where I'm supposed to worship God. Well, we'd have to tell Claude to go back out there behind the shop and blow the shofar all through worship. Because if he just got up and began to blow that all through worship, that would be dishonoring to the rest of us. And so whatever expression of worship we have to consider honoring other people so that they're allowed to bring what they carry as well. That is an expression of individuality. The church of tomorrow will be where variety of expression will be released in ministry as well as worship. In other words, I believe that even yet we haven't seen the varieties of ministry that the Lord wants to move amongst us. I know we're having again the ancient past ministry coming back in March, and it has been in here, and it is a valuable, valuable, valuable ministry to get involved in. Now, what was the cost? I forget what it was. 65, was it a person or? And 100 a couple. Now, I really encourage you, start now. Maybe somebody might want to buy somebody a gift for Christmas and send people to this. But I want to encourage, especially young families, especially young people. I really believe everybody could get great advantage from it. But the younger people, your children are still young. You can learn tremendous things. If you have children in your home or teenagers in your home, or if you have children at all in your home, no matter what they are, age they are, you will be tremendously blessed learning some of these things of how to bless your children and just undo some damage that you have done. And my pastor, I never did any damage. Oh, you're Mr. Perfect Parent, are you? We've all did some damage, every one of us. And we can help, we can gain information to use this in order to be a better father, a better mother. And so I encourage you, as I say, there'll be varieties of ministries that will take place, but the same basic truths will prevail. Something else I believe that's going to happen in the church, when I'm saying the church, I'm speaking specifically of this church, but not only this church. Other churches as well. I believe in the past we've seen a church where people, well, actually churches have started and churches have split sometimes, supposedly over doctrinal issues. Usually it's not doctrinal issues, it's really usually personal issues. It's really usually classes, it's usually strife that splits churches. Often when there's a move of God and something new begins, that's not necessarily a church split, but it's a new move of God, there is a new revelation that's coming forth that people grab onto. And people will all gravitate to whatever church is moving in that new revelation. And so we have churches that are, you know, we have churches today called the Word of Faith churches, for instance, that kind of gather to that revelation of Word of Faith. Then we have, it started years ago, the Vineyard Church that people gravitated toward the miracle signs and wonders that took place in John Wimber's ministry. And there are different churches that have gathered together a certain people who would all think the same way. I believe the church of tomorrow is not going to look like that. In the past, if I believed a certain way, it seemed like I would have to go and find a church that believed that way as well, or I'm going to feel out of place. But the church of tomorrow is going to be a church of variety, where even though you may come, someone may come and be a part of a church where you don't necessarily believe every single thing even doctrinally, that you won't have a sense of having to leave to go to find some other group who's believing just the same way as you. But you'll feel quite comfortable in sitting in the midst of not of having your own mind and own belief in certain areas. In other words, you won't have to embrace every single thing of the church in order to be able to feel comfortable within that church.